The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz, hour number two. 713-780. ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, you're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, not enough, at Degenerates 975. Can also text the show at 713-780-3776. Missed the first hour? A lot of Justin Verlander. A lot of, we got a little college betting discussion going on. Talked a little bit about the storm still. I think that's about it.
I think that's about it.
Yeah. Good stuff, though. And, trying to get a little bit, ease back into normality here. So, Gerardo asking you playing any of these games. I don't do parlays. It's one of those things I constantly have to remind people is I very rarely will do a parlay. I play games separately. So,
as should you.
Yeah, it's just, I'm not a fan of them. The return for what you, and I know people love the idea of bet a little to win a lot, but the return never matches the odds against you hitting it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's never going to work out to where you're making the money you should be making for your parlay. But if you like playing them, that's great. If you're just playing recreationally, that's cool.
If you're throwing down $5 a week and you want to throw down a $5 parlay, that's fine. But if you're betting real money, please don't bet parlays. I mean, it's your money. Do what you want with it, but.
Yeah. And so when did you talk Game of Thrones? Yesterday at 5:30. So, and guys, we're getting questions about the signal. We're lucky to be on the air right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, our tower was in the middle of the mess.
It's still in the middle of the mess.
And that basically we're on a backup, and we're doing the best we can. But, honestly, there's not a damn thing that we can do. And, it'll get fixed when we can get to it. But you guys know where our tower is, and that area was hit really, really hard.
Yep.
So, John, is there anything new on that I haven't been informed of yet?
No.
Okay. So, we're just very lucky that we're even able to broadcast, because we were going to have to broadcast on 1560. That was the original plan.
Yep.
And then we were fortunate enough to get here in about an hour before the show on Wednesday. We were able to get the tower back. So, that's a deal. Switch over to the app. That's the best advice I can give. So I have a TV list that I think is going to make your head explode.
Okay. Well, by all means, Fred, explode my head. That's what I was hoping for today.
How much do you trust IMDb?
Yeah, whatever. I mean, I look at it. I look at IMDb if I want to know. Like if I say, God, what else has that guy played in? What else has that guy been in? That's the only thing I look at it for.
I'm not really sure I look at it even for that. I'll do Wikipedia for that. But, and it's not loading. What the hell? Is the internet slow here today or?
No, mine's working fine.
Oh. Can't be my computer.
No.
I spent too much money on it.
Shouldn't be.
No.
Well, so you'll explode my head at a later date then?
Yeah, at some point.
Okay.
So.
You got me all worked up into head protection mode.
Well, I think it'll be entertaining to you.
Okay.
It's basically their top TV shows of all time based on their ratings.
Oh, boy.
And
based on, like, their Nielsen ratings?
No.
On IMDb ratings?
Based on IMDb's ratings, yeah.
Okay.
And I think you'll find it interesting. So... Well, let's do something else then, since I can't seem to get this thing to pop up on my screen.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to say that we have the worst luck with the interwebs, but lately our luck has been worse. I had issues when we were in Vegas. I think they just had too many people on the internet.
Well, yeah, it got really slow. Thursday was the worst day when everybody was in there writing stories and stuff, and there were probably 200 people on the internet, and everybody was slow. Friday was a little bit better.
Well, if you want something to make your head explode, I've got a story.
Okay.
The most dangerous sex positions. This is no IMDb list, but
okay. So we're talking about something that could Dennis Rodman you.
Yes. So, the most dangerous sex positions, according to this study, listen, there's pros and cons to everything. But this lady, who's a sex expert, Samantha Evans, assesses the hidden hazards of some of our favorite positions.
Okay.
And gives some safety tips on how to avoid ending up in the emergency room or maybe even the morgue if it gets too out of control.
Really? You can die from these?
Yeah. Here's some of the dangers about missionary. It says, for her, there's a danger of potential back pain if her back is not supported. And an uncomfortable entry angle can also be painful. For him, risk of a broken penis from overthrusting. Safety advice, use pillows to raise her hips and support the back.
Hmm.
How about the standing straddle? I've tried that before. I was a much younger man.
I don't know how to name these things. So there's
standing straddle would be where you are standing, and she is basically hugged up to your upper body while you basically bounce her on top of you.
Okay.
You do that anymore?
No.
No, me neither. Jong, you do that? You and Teresa do the standing straddle?
No.
You guys do only laying down sex?
No.
What?
Not necessarily.
You do standing sex?
Not standing straddle.
Oh, interesting. What standing positions are you using?
Like, are we talking, like, what do you consider standing?
Standing, what do you mean? It's like you're on your feet, standing up, upright, like walking like a human, as opposed to a bear.
Yeah, but standing straddle is, describe it again, it's her on top of you?
So, like, standing straddle would be her legs wrapped around your waist, you holding her upper body to yours while you're standing. And you're basically holding up her weight.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't do that, right?
No.
Okay. What kind of standing sex do you have?
I mean, you could always do doggy style standing, couldn't you?
Yeah.
I guess you could. Yeah. Well, it's technically not doggy style then. It's just...
It's like standing...
Standing sex from behind.
Standing Dothraki style is what I would call it.
That works.
Yeah.
Well, standing straddle, the big risk is the woman being dropped on the floor.
Yeah, no way I could do that at my age.
For him, the risks are... lower back strains, pulled neck and arm muscles, and damaged manhood if it were to slip out. The safety advice, make sure the man is strong enough to support the woman's weight, and she should lean against a wall or furniture for support. Don't just try to go at it, you know, like a wild man. Doggy, we just talked about. For her, fast thrusting may cause friction, leading to soreness. It can also put a strain on the woman's back if he puts his full weight on her. For him, the man is also susceptible to injury if the action is too fast and his manhood slips out and hits her pubic area. You notice that the risk for the man is almost always the same.
Yeah.
You could slip out and break your penis. The safety advice, go slow and use a firm mattress.
I see.
So don't try fast doggy on a waterbed.
Yeah, that's probably not a cool idea. You should go to Texas Mattress Makers.
Yeah. Cowgirl, the dangers for her, bouncing too hard is it can be painful for the woman. I'll let you guess what the risk for the man is.
And that's actually happened before, and that is painful.
Yes. Take time and stay in control to prevent slippage. Wheelbarrow position. I don't often use the wheelbarrow move. I don't even know exactly how you would do that, but I mean, I guess...
Isn't that where they just... throw your legs over your shoulders?
No, it's like more like you're holding an actual wheelbarrow, and that's her legs.
Oh.
and her face is like the front wheel of the wheelbarrow, which seems really rude.
Yeah, that's.
But it says, beware of face planting on the floor and also of experiencing lower back pain. For him, this time, the risks are this athletic position could result in thigh and back strain. Safety advice, place pillows down to soften a fall. The man could also lean on the wall for support. Kneeling sex, there's obviously a risk of carpet burns and knee strain for both parties. And, of course, for him, the usual suspect, penis slippage, especially when the couple is mismatched in height, which that's the case for me. That's the case for you. That's not the case for Jong. Jong is safer in kneeling sex because he is not significantly taller than his partner, unless he gets a new partner. And then who knows? They're not married yet.
He's going to need to get like a 4'11" girl.
Yes. And then yogi position. Staying in this position for a long period can lead to strain on the lower back of the woman and neck and cramp, or the lower back and neck and cramps in the calves. And he could suffer friction burns or sore knees. Support the back, knees, and neck with pillows or buy special sex furniture. That's the advice they give.
Okay.
So, do you have any sex furniture?
No.
I don't either.
No. It's called a bed.
I have that one. But I don't have any specialized sex furniture.
Okay, I've got this list now, so we can do that next segment.
Okay.
It's
Is it better than my list?
It's easier to talk about on air than your list is.
Well, that was uncomfortable?
Yeah, that reminds me because our buddy Chris Whitmire was just texting us during that segment, and I wanted to remind everybody that the five-year anniversary of the distillery is going to be postponed. They're going to reschedule to let people know on the tickets, but that is not going to happen on the actual date. So if you were planning to go, you'll have to wait. It's going to be fun, though.
It will be fun.
All right. I tell you what else is fun is making a little money. And matter of fact, our buddy Jay has a gambling guide on sports and stuff, which you should check out. It's he's got some really good plays, and I'm gonna tag along on a couple of them, and I'm going to do it on MyBookie, an industry-leading website, the best place for you to cash in. And if you join now, MyBookie is going to match your deposit with a 100% bonus. Live in-game betting on pretty much every sporting event. So it's kind of cool. I can go there and play CFL college football right now and play the horses. And they've got a user-friendly mobile site that is just easy to use. And most of these places that have mobile sites, they're not any good. This one is terrific. It's easy. And at MyBookie, you can pick the side total, even hit it big with player props, whatever you're into. And if you're sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for withdrawal, then come join MyBookie. And I'll tell you what, decades of experience, no hassle payouts, no fine print. You'll experience the greatest customer service in the business, guaranteed. Just use promo code RADIO to activate your bonus of up to 100%. That's promo code RADIO. Call 844-900-2387 or visit mybookie.ag to open an account. You can also use mybookie.lv. That's 844-900-BETS or go online to mybookie.ag and use promo code RADIO. Bet with the biggest, win with the best, only at MyBookie. Sign up today.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Texas A&M UCLA College Football, 6:30 Sunday. Presented locally by Doggett Heavy Machinery on ESPN 97.5.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN if you want to get in. That's 3776. You can also text the show. All right, so this is the list of the top-rated TV shows based on IMDb rating.
Okay.
You have three that weigh in with a 9.5, which is the highest rating.
Okay.
The top one is Planet Earth 2. I have never heard of.
I got nothing to say there.
Number two is Band of Brothers.
Okay.
Number three is Planet Earth, which was in 2006, so the original.
All right.
So
John, are you familiar with either of these Planet Earth things?
Yes.
What are they about?
Did you watch it?
Yeah, I watched it. It's you know, they explore the it's like a documentary.
Oh, okay.
They explore different parts of the world, and they show, you know, animals eating each other and that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I can watch that.
Yeah, that's
yeah, it's really, really cool.
Okay.
And I think recently Snoop Dogg, they asked him to voice, they didn't ask him to voice the real episode, but they had him voice over a couple of things on that from that show.
All right. At number four, with a 9.4, Game of Thrones. They also have Breaking Bad with a 9.4 at number five.
Okay.
At number six, The Wire with a 9.3.
Respect.
Yeah.
That's my number one.
It should be higher on the list, but having not watched the Planet Earth things and... You know, you're kind of comparing different stuff here.
Yeah.
But,
Baltimore's in Planet Earth.
It kind of is, yeah. Number seven at 9.3, Rick and Morty, which I love.
See, I think we're getting a lot of, like, Rick and Morty, okay, all right.
Is it, it's hilarious, but it's a cartoon, yeah. I don't know that I'd have it that high. It's my favorite show, it's going now that Thrones is over, but...
That's fair.
Number eight, Cosmos, A Space-Time Odyssey. Was that the thing that Neil deGrasse Tyson did, John? Do you know? Because that was that was damn good, if that's the case. I mean, same thing. It was more about science and things like that. But, that's indeed what it was, Neil deGrasse Tyson. Yeah, so... number nine, Cosmos, which from 1980, which I'm not familiar with.
I'm not either.
So, The World at War from 1973. That's going back.
I wasn't alive. Here
is some ones that you're familiar with. Number 11, The Sopranos.
Boy, that's low on the list.
Well,
to me.
It's 9.2, and keep in mind, number one is 9.5. So, the separation here is pretty low on these shows.
Yeah.
12 is Sherlock, which I love. That's in my all-time top five. Something called Life is 13th from 2009. Familiar with that?
No, I don't think so.
Avatar, The Last Airbender. That's something John would be into, I'm sure, because it's like a little bald Asian guy, right?
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
Okay. The Civil War from 1990.
This shouldn't count cartoons. I don't like cartoons.
Not familiar with that. Human Planet, 2011.
That's like Earth.
Yeah. What is that?
About humans eating
each
other.
Is that like the competitor to Planet Earth?
Humans eat each other.
Okay, number 17, very happy to see on this list with a 9.0, Firefly.
Oh, my God. You and everybody else with the stupid Firefly. It was one season. It was a pretty good season. Let's stop talking about like it was some TV show. It was one season.
It was great, though. And there was a movie. They wrapped it up with a movie.
That's
But I wish they'd do with Deadwood, which is not on this list, by the way.
Yeah, Deadwood's not on the list, but Firefly, which had one season, is. Give me a break with the Firefly.
Get over yourself.
Booger Eater show, and it lasted one damn season.
Yeah, it should have lasted longer.
If it had, I'd give it the respect, but it didn't.
Decalogue, 1989.
That's familiar. A made-up show, too.
Not familiar with
Where's
that.
Where's Alf, by the way?
I'm still going here. We're at The Twilight Zone from 1959 is 19th. And number 20, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Okay.
Good show, but 20th best of all time?
That seems...
The 2014 True Detective is on the list at 21.
Again, one season.
The 2014 Fargo on the list at 23.
Yeah, you've got to...
Westworld at 28.
Those aren't connected.
Yeah.
It's tough. Westworld at 28.
Yeah.
It's been one season. There's too much overreaction for what's going on now.
It was... and I didn't think it was that good. John probably watches Batman the Animated Series. It's at number 24.
My kids like that show. I think Stranger Things, through one season, was better than Westworld.
I agree. I think there's a lot of things through one season that were better than Westworld, but I was more down on it than most people.
I was up and down on Westworld.
44, well, they were up and down on a lot of those robots, too.
Yeah.
44, Twin Peaks, which I've never been as high on as most people.
What about MASH?
Not on here.
Not on the list.
And I've gotten down to 50. Narcos, 47.
I'm going to watch that.
Simpsons, 54th.
That's offensive to me.
Yeah.
That's the only cartoon that should be in the top
50. Well, you got South Park at 55. Oz was 53. That seems real low.
I'm gonna watch the new season of Narcos tonight.
Yeah,
that's my game plan.
61 House, 62.
I did like House.
Yeah, women like that show too. My wife loved that show.
What is that supposed to mean?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying you're a woman.
It's a doctor show.
69 was 6 feet under.
I overrated.
Yeah. Archer, 73. It's probably about right. Deadwood, 78. I'm going to go with You People Suck. The 8.7 is the rating. See if there's anything else you might care about.
What about Justified?
I still haven't seen that. Shameless, 98 on the list. Yeah, if you don't have Justified on here in MASH, I'm not a big MASH guy. But I wonder how they come up with these ratings.
I don't know. I mean, it's a bunch. The problem is, like, I would say that, but then, like, the 1959 Twilight Zone was on there. I would say it's only young people rating these movies.
So, yeah, just thought I'd share that.
I don't even know how I feel about Band of Brothers being that. I mean, it's Band of Brothers is badass, but I don't even know if that's like a TV show. That was like a miniseries, and it was a one-time thing. It was almost like almost more of a movie. It was just too long to make it into a movie.
A buddy of mine texted me to say that Planet Earth is the best stoner series ever. Now I'm going to have to check that out.
Okay.
Would that work, John? Is that a good stoner series?
Yeah.
Okay.
Better than the original Twilight Zone?
That's a good stoner series. But, all right. Just thought we would... throw that out there.
Better than season 2 of True Detective?
Anything's better than season 2. So somebody says standing straddle in the shower is really scary.
Oh, I mean, that's a risk-taking move right there. You don't do that.
That's a death wish, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, somebody said girl almost fell out of the window one time doing standing straddle because he lost his balance, and that was out of the second floor. And yeah, some other embarrassing stories. And one guy says, oh, standing straddle all the time. I didn't know there was a name for it. I didn't either.
Come on, guys.
So.
Pick up on your sex terminology. Mm. John, you going to watch that Marvel Inhumans?
No, that thing, I don't know. That thing got really, really bad reviews.
It's a no-go? Have you heard anything about it, Fred?
No.
I feel like so far, when Marvel tries to do TV, that's not true because Daredevil worked. I like that.
Well, that's Netflix, not real TV.
Yeah, real TV superhero shows suck.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. was okay.
I didn't like that.
It was really, really slow.
I didn't even like... you know what show everyone loved that I didn't like? Heroes.
That was slow.
That's a stupid show. Hmm. Okay, that's another one that's probably high on that list of rankings, but it's stupid. Heroes sucks. Heroes and Lost... Those are real high on my list of shows that everyone raved about that I thought were stupid.
Lost was never for me. Man, this poor guy got stuck in Seattle, couldn't get a flight home, so he managed to get a flight to Dallas and then a bus to Houston, which he's on right now, and wants to thank you for getting him through this boring-ass trip on 45.
Oh, you're a bus person now.
Says, when I heard the Friday song, I know Fred and the Barbecue King are helping me get back to normal.
I feel like maybe taking if you're on a Greyhound or something, that's not quite like being a bus person who takes the bus.
Yeah.
Like around the city. It's probably a different level of bus person.
Yeah.
If you're on like a mega bus, the mega boost.
Yeah.
I can't imagine what that's like. I would like a report
if somebody's done a mega bus, I'm kind of curious because we've kind of given some thought to.
I've done a mega bus.
You've done a mega bus?
Yeah.
When?
I had to go up to Dallas and I didn't want to drive, so I did a mega bus.
How long did it take you?
Normal. It wasn't too bad.
5 hours.
The only downside is you have to get to the bus stop at like crack of dawn.
Yeah. How much did it cost?
Not that much, like $12.
Seven. Were there a bunch of weirdies on the bus?
No, I just kept to myself and kind of took a nap. I did clinch my things that I had with me.
You were worried?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But no weirdies.
God, you guys know me. I'm scared of the bus. I don't like public transportation.
You don't like that?
I don't like that.
You're against that.
I am against that and always have been. All right, guys, you have been waiting. I have been waiting. We've all been waiting since February 6th. Football season, it's almost here. And there's no better way to get close to the game than with DraftKings 1 Week Fantasy Football. They're hosting a $100,000 contest that is totally free to enter. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. Unbelievable. DraftKings has so many ways to play. You could play the public contest against total strangers. You could win some big money that way. Or you could throw down 20 bucks with a couple of your buddies and see who could come up with the best team that week. They've got beginner and casual contests where you can play against the people of a similar skill level. And you draft a new team every week, so there's no commitment to some busted down old player. Go to DraftKings.com now. Use promo code Houston to play in DraftKings' free week one contest with $100,000 in total prizes. And if you draft the perfect lineup, you can win $1 billion. It's promo code Houston to play for your shot to win $1 billion week one. The contest is totally free to enter. You got nothing to lose. DraftKings, the game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, and you know what that music means, because it's 5:30 on Friday, and time for the guru from pregame.com and of all gambling in the world. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas, our good buddy, RJ Bell. What's going on, man?
So what is happening down there? I'm confused.
It's been raining.
Because, yeah, I heard that part. But I know, you know, 5, 6, 7 people down in Houston, everyone's like, no, didn't hit us bad. But then I look on TV and it's like obviously a catastrophe. I mean, what percentage of the city was really affected?
Well, it's you're seeing the worst of it. Been having to talk to people from around the country the last couple of days just to tell them, no, we're fine. Our area was fine. There are some very badly hit areas, but I think I saw the number was 35% was heavily flooded in the region.
So, like, people's houses in a third of the city affected?
Yeah.
Yes.
And oh, my God.
Yeah, that's a significant amount. So, but, yeah, and there were some really bad areas, but, you know, we're all pretty fortunate, and where we were is fine. I mean, I've been very lucky about that, and so we just try to do our best to help out where we can. So,
well, I tell you, from what I can see, and you know, I have an affinity, obviously, all the years we've done our segment, and you know, my best buddy used to coach at the University of Houston. I was down a good bit then, years ago.
Not Art Briles, right?
No, no, okay, no, good. No. Dana Dimmel.
Okay.
Dana Dimmel wasn't I knew Dana, but he was on that staff, and I mean, to me, from what I can see from the outside, is obviously the, you know, American way and, you know, lend a helping hand. It seems like, you know, Texas and Houston, as best as you can with a catastrophe like this, is really shown itself to be, you know, wonderful in so many ways.
Oh, absolutely. And so many people have stepped up. AJ was out, you know, kayak rescuing people and helping people with their homes, and there's been so many people step up and it's responded.
Is that true?
Quickly. Yeah. Oh yeah.
He was in a kayak.
Yeah,
it was.
He had never
learned
been
how to ride a kayak in the rushing waters of a random street in Houston. I fell out about five times before I figured it out. But I
you know
it
something,
out.
I got to be honest with you. This reminds me of Here Comes Polly. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
With Ben Stiller.
Along came Polly.
Along Came Polly. Okay, that's it. You saw it?
I don't think I've seen it, but I don't.
Okay, so Ben Stiller, Jennifer Aniston's in it, and Philip Seymour Hoffman played an actor who was kind of famous, and he knew Ben Stiller, and they went to high school together, and he had a camera crew following him around, like, everywhere he went doing his own. He was self-funding a documentary. I just think of AJ in the kayak, and then there's a motorboat beside him, like an electronic boat with the camera crew, getting all the branding for Instagram with, like, AJ saving people and stuff. Was there any of
there
that
was no,
going on?
There were no cameras around. There were, unfortunately.
But did any pictures go up on Instagram of you saving people?
Not one. I left my phone in the truck.
It would have been hard for me to resist a little branding, you know, if I'm saving people.
It was hard to resist until I realized that If I fell out of my kayak, my phone would be gone, and I would have lost about five phones. So,
all right. So, yeah, we're all just trying to get back to normal here as best we can. In a lot of areas, it's very weird because a lot of the areas of the city, it looks like nothing happened now, and then there's other places where the flooding's going to get worse in some areas because we have rivers and bayous and things like that they're having to drain. So, yeah, it's
so last question on this is, was it that the areas that didn't have trouble had less rain, or was it because of, like you said, the water bodies, the way that the water flowed when it got high? Was it more about that, or was it more about the amount of rain?
RJ, where I was doing the rescues at was about a half mile from my house, and my house had no water. And the apartment, the first place we went was an apartment complex where the entire first floor was underwater. So it's just a matter of where your house sat topographically.
And in my place, we had 36 inches of rain and not even street flooding. So,
wow. So a good segue here is our number one NFL handicapper, Steve Fezzik. He believes that this is going to be a gigantic negative for the Texans this year, that the distraction and the reality of the cleanup, and you know, and rightfully so, right? You've got J.J. Watt, you know, doing an amazing job raising a bunch of money, but he's not watching film, right, when he's raising that money. Not saying he's not doing the right thing, because obviously he's doing the righteous thing. But when you analyze this team, I mean, if you look at the Saints after Katrina, 3 wins. Right. So if you look at the Saints record, you know, under their coach with Drew Brees, Peyton and Brees, is every year pretty much was at least average and then 3 wins. Now, that's one data point, but I think people tend to really underestimate how much human reality, you know, hey, St. Louis moving to Los Angeles last year. I think that, and a lot of guys here in Vegas think that was a significant chunk of their struggles. I mean, obviously, Goff was a chunk later, but the idea of, you know, new kids or school or all the, or, you know, your house or your mom's house, big, big distractions. What do you guys think?
Well, it's a little different from the Saints because they had to play in San Antonio and other places. They couldn't play in the Superdome. But I think it's going to affect them at the start here because it is going to affect the preparation for week one, and it is going to take a little time for everybody to get settled back into their routines and not have to worry about this stuff. So I do think it can have an impact. And hey, we're talking about a team that's pretty steadily 9-7, 9-7, 9-7. If they wind up starting slower than usual and going 7-9, that's a pretty significant impact on their season because they're not going to be in the playoff hunt at that point. So I do agree with them to an extent. I just don't know that the Saints are a fair comparison.
Yeah, that's an interesting. So how many games did they play outside of the Superdome that year?
I don't remember. I think they played the entire season. I know they played a bunch of games in San Antonio.
I think so, too.
Yeah. And,
okay.
You know, I'm old. My memory's not as good as it used to be, but I remember going to see them in San Antonio. So I don't think they played in the Superdome that entire year. So this one, they'll be able to play at home. But you're right. They're doing a lot of stuff, right? And as they should be. And, you know, I've kind of been on J.J. Watt's case in the past for being a little bit of a glory hound, but I'll tell you what, the money that's paid off in with this stuff he's doing, I'm all for it, man. And I'm glad they're focused on what's important, and will it affect them against Jacksonville? It might. Of course, they still get to face Blake Bortles, right?
Exactly. See, that's God just it's the universe sending back good. You know what's funny, though, is it could be both, right? Is some of the people that's probably done the most good in the world have been people that's craved, you know, and I'm not talking, I don't know J.J. Watt, I can't speak to him, but is, you know, imagine someone like, let's assume, and I'm not saying it's true, like Mother Teresa, like she just wanted to feel good about herself. Like somehow her, and again, I'm speaking hypothetically, but using her as an example, someone almost everyone believes, you know, had a huge contribution to this world. But imagine if the cause of that was she had a really difficult father that was like super critical, and thus she really needed affirmation. And the best way to do it was for her was to do X, Y, and Z for the poor. Does that really matter? Right? If we're trying to figure out, like, you know, the deep, deep, deep goodness of a person, maybe it matters. But when it comes to, like, the end result, like actors, right? The greatest actors are usually some of the most troubled people. We mentioned Philip Seymour Hoffman, right? One of the great actors, I think, of the last, you know, of all time, really. He would be on my top 10. And very troubled person.
Same with Chris Farley.
Well, yeah.
Top 10.
And Belushi, right? Well, I don't know. I think Farley is a comedian. I thought Farley was very talented. And obviously Belushi, you know, hyper-talented. But, I mean, it's no coincidence if you make a list of the 100 most talented people in any field, especially artistic fields, right? And if you think, okay, name some painters, right? Well, Van Gogh's going to be somewhere on the top of the list. Okay, obviously insane at some point. Name philosophers, all right? Nietzsche, well, you know, obviously insane at some point. If you go, you know, name writers, right? F. Scott Fitzgerald, okay, well, alcoholic, Hemingway killed himself. I mean, there's, you know, name musicians like Kurt Cobain, go, you know, and even if it wasn't suicide, it was serious drug addictions for decades for some of them. So I think and again, this is off subject, not connecting J.J. Watt necessarily, but I think the person's motivation and the end result really don't have to have any connection, and I don't think they really matter. I think there's a lot of people that have good intentions that accomplish nothing. And there's a lot of people who might accomplish a lot for ego reasons, but the people still benefit.
As one of the 15 most talented people in my field, I'm fairly well adjusted.
Kayaking? kayak rescue?
Yeah, I'm horrible at that, honestly.
Yeah, just to correct something, they did play some of the games at Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge, but they split them between that and the Alamo Dome in San Antonio that year. So, but they were never able to play at home.
See, I wonder, could you make the case, because I've often believed, you know, I'm thinking back to Friday Night Lights, right? Which you always want to reference. And remember the time there was somehow the field got torn up or something. And they had to, I think it was the first season, so they had to go out and play, you know, like in the country, and they just chalked out some lines and stuff. And the other team hated it because, this was back when it was East versus West, now I'm thinking, right? Like season 4, season 5. So sometimes if you got like this really intimate place where only your fans can get into, it can be an advantage, right? And I can't remember how it was in San Antonio, but I mean, are we sure it was a huge negative? I'm not sure.
I think at the time it was, yeah. So,
yeah, it could be.
Hey, let's. Sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just quickly to wrap is on that is I was just trying to make the distinction. I'm not sure how much the home field had to do with the general problems, and if so, if half of their general negative drag was the home field, then you're right. Houston wouldn't have to worry about that half. The question is, what percentage of the negative drag had to do with the distractions? What percentage for the Saints had to do with home field?
Let's recap that fight a little bit. What kind of numbers did it wind up doing? And the books came out pretty well on it, right?
You want to hear a true story? Is I just cashed my $15,000 ticket, and as we're talking, I'm counting my money. You think I'm kidding, but I'm not. Listen, I'm gonna hit the money on the microphone, right? I'm gonna fan it. Wait, hear it?
Oh, yeah.
So it went pretty well from my perspective. Well, 15 won me three, but I'll make the following case: is I thought McGregor did doubly as good as I expected. Does that sound about right? As you expected, obviously.
He did well, but a lot of the reason why I think he did well is because Floyd fought him in a way that made the fight more exciting.
But it was a way I thought that made it almost guaranteed that Floyd would win.
Yes.
Because if you look at McGregor, imagine if we were doing some kind of race and it was, let's say, a marathon, right? Well, that's an easy one, 26.1. And imagine that I know you can't run 26.1 no matter what. But there's one other way for you to win other than running 26.1. Well, what am I going to do? I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure you don't win the other way because I know you can't run 26.1. So it seems to me Floyd knew, however, because he's a boxing genius, and I think tactically that's certain. And again, we always have to give the caveat is, you know, a lot of other things in his life, you know, that are, you know, worthy of scorn, but he is a boxing genius, Mayweather, and he knew he couldn't go or at least be effective for 12. So he did a game plan that accentuated that by giving the appearance of, hey, McGregor, you have a more of a chance than you thought. And it was almost like this active rope-a-dope, right? Ali against Foreman went up against the ropes, and since no one had ever seen it, it was like maybe Ali's got the flu. Who knew at the time, right? I mean, I was 4 years old, so I didn't know. But now in hindsight, it's like, well, he was getting him to punch himself out. Well, we didn't know. No one knew at the time. And now, though, this was kind of almost like a new, not rope-a-dope, but, punch me dope or something, which is horrible saying it because it's not the right clever at all. But the point is he got McGregor to get much more aggressive in round 1, 2, and 3 than maybe he would have. And yet let him win some of those rounds. I'm not sure what the official card had, but some had it 2-1. Some had it 3-0 when I was watching the fight. But then because of that, he was going to be so much more tired later in the fight. To me, I thought it was almost like, in what scenario would McGregor be able to win the fight? After having seen it, even though McGregor seemed to do better, if they had a rematch in 2 months, or if we could go back in a time machine knowing what we know now, what would you say are the odds that Mayweather would win?
In 2 months?
Yeah, but let's forget that they're old, that Mayweather's older or whatever. Let's say we could refight that fight
100%.
Exactly in the same circumstance.
100%.
100.
Yes.
So I thought it maybe went from 97 to 94, where I did think that Mayweather's ability or McGregor's ability to hit him could have landed something big, though he did land that uppercut in the first round. And it didn't seem to affect Floyd, but let's call it plus 90% anyway. So to me, a great bet is when you lay minus 500, which I laid, and you win, and your opponent does much better than you expect, and you still would make the bet again.
Yeah.
So to me, it was a great example of laying minus 500 can be a great bet if the odds are, you know, minus 5,000.
Yeah, that was a good play there. I think we were all on the right side of that. You got a bunch of new stuff going on. You got a Fox radio show. You're doing stuff with Podcast One. Tell the people what all you got going on.
Yeah, we're pretty excited, man. It's new website. So for those that haven't come back for football, in June, we launched a new website. Two crown jewels of the site. One is the Game Center. And it is, in my opinion, far and away the best free odds service out there. You get a bunch of books. It's real time. The updates flash right on your phone or your computer. It's 100% free. And we've got a consensus tab, which tells you the ticket count on each team. Let's say 80% bet in the Patriots. And I'm just speaking hypothetically. And the cash count. And what's fascinating about that, guys, is imagine that you've got 70% of the cash and 40% of the tickets on a team. Well, what do you know? The big bets are on that team, right?
Right.
Or vice versa. So if you actually hunt through and look for those discrepancies, you can find the times that the big bets are on a certain side. No other site but pregame.com provides that for free. And I don't think any other site even has this information, even if you pay for it, to the degree that we have it. So that's really cool. We have a show nationally on Fox, 330 stations, Sirius, the whole thing. And that's going to be on 11 to 12 Pacific Friday nights, and then an extra hour on Saturday, 10 to 12 Pacific. So this is 10 to midnight. So for you guys, we'll be catching you coming out of the bars maybe in the 1 o'clock hour, in the 12 o'clock hour. And that's cool. And lastly, we're doing a podcast. You know, we've talked about the dream podcast that we do, College and Pro. Well, Adam Carolla and Podcast One have picked that up. And I'll be doing a segment with Adam every Wednesday on his show. 800,000 listens per day for Adam on podcasts. Imagine that. every Wednesday, and then our dream preview, both college and pro, up on Podcast One and on my Twitter at RJ in Vegas.
So you're a busy man, sir.
Busy, busy. And Fred and I have a little something going on.
Yeah, which we'll be talking about next week, I'm sure.
All right. I thought we were starting this week.
I thought it started next week.
You might want to look at your email.
Oh.
Look at your email, Fred. Come on, be a pro.
I'm not 100%, but I'll lay minus 3,000.
Well, if it's starting this week, when the hell are we doing it?
We might have to. You know what Bill O'Reilly said?
What's that?
Do it live.
Yeah, we could do that. I'll find
all righty, and we'll do it live.
Oh, that was better than mine.
You can't get the real O'Reilly voice unless you have your hand on an intern's ass or something like that. It's
I don't think he even got that far, right?
No, he just asked or like made creepy advances, like, "Oh, do you really want to make it in this company, honey?" That kind of stuff.
All right, that's RJ Bell, and as always, great stuff, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
All right. Well, guys, if you are in the market for a new mattress, and unfortunately a lot of you are going to be because of what's happened here, well, you don't want to get someplace where you're going to get gouged. There's all these people out there trying to make money off you. You want to go to somebody you can trust who's going to take care of you, who you're already saving 50% off of what you'd be paying if you went to a retail store. Well, how about this 25% on top of that for their Labor Day sale? That's Texas Mattress Makers. They're going to put you on a great bed at a great price. They are not going to gouge you. They want to help you in this situation. So they're going to get you a fantastic bed and 25% off. I mean, you can't beat that, right? I mean, they were doing this for the Labor Day sale. Still planning on doing it because that's what they're all about. And if you haven't been by there, go check them out. Yuval and the gang there, they're fantastic. And, you know, they want to be able to help you get a great bed, save money doing it. And the best part, you know, You're gonna sleep like a champ. And I know a lot of you are struggling with that right now because you got plenty to worry about. But you're gonna sleep better. They want to put you on the best bed for you, and you're gonna save a lot off of what you pay if you went to a retail store. Go visit them today at 4619 Navigation at the corner with Lockwood. Texas Mattress Makers, tell them I sent you, man. They will take care of you. They love the Blitzers. They're gonna get you a great deal. Texas Mattress Makers, the best sleep at the best price, guaranteed.
ESPN 97.5.